Let me open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this privilege to minister the Lord Jesus to your saints. Father, I pray that we would receive him afresh in our hearts. God, I pray reverently, asking that your Holy Spirit would profoundly be at work amongst us this morning as we attend to your words. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are all kinds of questions that can enter the minds of believers at one time or another. Is this church really a manifestation of the kingdom of heaven? Church can seem so ordinary. It can seem so small, so seemingly insignificant, easily ignored, our message out of step. Is this really going to transform the cosmos? And what about evil? How can we claim that Jesus is reigning from heaven when evil wins the headlines every single day? Questions like this can certainly press up against us when we look out on the world, can they not? But they are not new questions for believers. They are not new questions for Christians, nor are they questions that catch Jesus by surprise. The Lord Jesus spoke the three parables before us this morning to answer just these questions. And to put courage in your heart, saint. Courage that you can remain confident and faithful in this age where the kingdom of God can seem so small, maybe even insignificant, and evil continues to claim victim. Be encouraged, saints. The kingdom will grow and evil will be eradicated. Let's open our Bibles together to Matthew 13. And we'll start just with verses 24 through 35. Matthew 13, 24 through 35. Last week we saw how Jesus began disclosing hidden realities, secrets about the kingdom, the long-awaited kingdom of God through these parables. And he continues here, chapter 13, starting with verse 24. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go up and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Then he put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches.' He told them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. All these things Jesus said to the crowd in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world.'" These three parables that Jesus gives from the boat on the shore of the Lake of Galilee can be summarized into two encouragements for us, disciples, until Jesus returns. The kingdom will grow. The gospel will advance. And evil will be eradicated. That's the assurance that the Lord gives us this morning from his word. Now let's take these one at a time. So far in Jesus' ministries, we have to say the results have been, well, small. Jesus has been ministering in northern Galilee. This is no New York City. This is a lot more like Wayne County. He's drawn huge crowds who have been taken in with his miracles and with his teaching, but even these crowds, for the most part, were unwilling to submit themselves to Jesus. There was a rather modest number of men and women, and even these men and women were definitely not the cream of the crop. Sinners who have joined themselves to Jesus, who have come under his authority, but many, we might even say most, were not willing to come. This hardly seems like the kingdom prophesied in Habakkuk, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Jesus, this is great, but it's kind of small. Fast forward to the years in the early church. The gospel now has gone out from Jerusalem to Judea. It's penetrated into the Roman Empire, even down into North Africa, and pressed out into Asia. In just about every major city in the Roman Empire, there is a church. A gathering of believers coming together in the name of the Lord Jesus. Wow! How does something like that happen? But then these churches are looming under the shadow of the Roman Empire. The church feels, well, small, insignificant. Now fast forward to our day. The gospel has crossed the Atlantic. And back again, there are disciples today on every continent. Well, I don't know about Antarctica. I bet down on a research station somewhere, we have a brother or a sister even down there. And where the message of the gospel has landed, it has penetrated and transformed lives, it can still seem small. Can't it? A church gathering in secret in China, Sudan, Iran, lights off. Scriptures hidden, clamped down by an impressive government, persecuted. The cultural tide right here in the United States turning and resisting against the message of Christ. But one cannot deny that Jesus' prediction was right. The kingdom has grown. Birds from all over the world now find shade in its branches. The quiet advance of the gospel has outlasted those empires whose shadows loomed so large over the church as to seemingly eclipse it. The gospel goes on. Do not think the power of the church is seen in wielding any kind of earthly authority. The church's power is in the quiet advance of the gospel. Hell's gates will not prevail against the gospel. It's awesome, isn't it, to watch these plants bloom and bud over time lapse. Have you seen those videos? Have you seen one of those where you're able to fast forward the growth of a plant? You can watch the stem push out from the ground, branches emerge from the stem, buds push through the end of those branches, leaves begin to unfold. It's miraculous. When we look back on the reach of the gospel message, it has grown to people after people, bringing people into the kingdom of God who were not in the kingdom of God before that. We are watching this seed bud over time lapse. The kingdom of heaven, we are told, is like a mustard seed that a man took and sowed into the field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants. It becomes a tree, so that all the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. But when we're in it, it can feel, well, slow, small. We have a small raised garden bed outside of our kitchen. And I planted some lettuce, some cucumber, some basil, cilantro, real small. And for the first 2 weeks after I planted those seeds, I couldn't help myself but every day just sneak in a little peek to see if they were going to take, if something was going to grow. I kept waiting for something to confirm that these seeds were going to bear life, that they were going to grow. And then I finally saw it. Little leaves push out from the ground, dusted with dirt on them. You could hardly see them. I pointed them out to Dana, and she's like, "Where are they?" "There, see, they're coming." Growth. Growth. The kingdom of heaven grows in a small, almost imperceptible way, hardly noticeable, like a seed in the ground, or like leaven spreading and permeating through dough. The gospel message spreads in power. And its small beginnings and quiet advance will not be proportionate to the glorious result. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Revelation 7, 9 through 10. "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to his Lamb.'" The kingdom will grow. Second encouragement, evil will be eradicated. Judgment, we are told, is deferred now, but not indefinitely. Please follow me to verse 36. I'm going to read verse 36 now through 43. "Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' And he answered, 'The one who sows this good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Jesus will not delay executing his judgment on evil forever. He is presently delaying, and both his present delay and his coming judgment are good news to us. When we look at the world, and even when we look within the doors of the church, at times, there is evil, is there not? Ongoing wickedness. We have no need to catalog it this morning. We know it. All of us know it more than we want to know it. Jesus will bring a full and final end to it. He delays now so that all of his children might come in. Middle of verse 28 says that the master servants, presumably these are angels, ask the Lord, "Do you want us to go and gather the weeds?" But the master said, no, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. For Augustine noted, there are some people now who, though they are weeds, will yet be wheat. The gospel is still going forth. God's judgment on the wicked is delayed so that this word of the kingdom might go forth and penetrate hearts. But the day is coming when the weeds and the wheat will be separated. The world right now has in it both people, people who belong to Jesus and his kingdom, heart and soul, sons of the kingdom, and those who are not, those who are sons of the evil one. And at times in this world, it's difficult for us to tell them apart. The weeds, we are told, are sown among the wheat. And the weed Jesus has in mind is probably a weed that looks a lot like wheat. If you're reading out of the ESV, if you're following along, after the first occurrence of weed, you'll see a little footnote. And if you look down the bottom of your Bible, it says it's probably this weed that's referred, it's called darnel. And darnel is indistinguishable from wheat until it begins to bear grain. So there is, until the judgment, going to be this mingling of fruit-bearing believers and sons of the evil one. Before Jesus returns, there will be no pure expression of the kingdom of heaven until his full and final return. And we are grateful for judges in our land, aren't we? Who faithfully execute their roles. Judges who unbiasedly administer justice. Who protect society from wrongdoers. And even the best of these are human judges. They're only human. But Jesus, the Lord, having in himself no sin, no darkness, is the most qualified to render a just judgment. He is the judge who can perfectly weigh and appropriately punish the wrongdoer. He is a good and just judge. His judgment will ultimately rid his world, his kingdom, of all evil. Verse 41, the Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers. Jesus is the judge who first, before executing his judgment, let the just sentence for sinners fall upon his own head on the cross. He took on himself the full outpouring of God's wrath against sin for all, anyone who will come to him as Savior and Lord. But he warns here, those who don't, who refuse and reject God's glory in Jesus Christ, choosing rather the evil one, they will be put out of his kingdom and into a place of eternal anguish. Sinfully refusing and rejecting God's glory invites God's wrath. But the end of evil is not only the putting out of the sons of the evil one, it's also the perfecting of his saints. Jesus will, on that day, even bring a full and final end to the sin that clings to his saints, so we will shine. Then the righteous, it says, will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. I've heard it said that everyone in their lives, everyone is struggling at any moment with evil, either out there coming at them from the outside, or evil coming out from within them. At any point in our lives, we are affected by sin done against us, sin in the world, sin operating at every level of our world. We can't get away from it. We are affected. We are buffeted by evil every day of our lives. But the evil isn't just coming from out there. The evil is also, at times, coming from within. And Jesus' kingdom, we are told, will be totally free from both. He will cast out the sons and all the causes for sin, the sons of the evil one, all of the causes for sins, and The sons of righteousness will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. There will be no hint of evil whatsoever left in his kingdom. So do not lose heart, saint. As we watch worldly powers rise and fall, while the church seems so marginal, so small, so marginalized, we have a promise that it will grow slowly, surely, quietly, persistently. And God has been true to his word. And may we never resent the seemingly mundane means by which God has ordained that it grow. Not seizing for us power that belongs to the sons of the evil one. No. God's power for his church is mediated through a message of grace. That's the power of the church. The old, old story that we sing about. The story of the gospel. That Jesus, the King and Judge of all the world, King Jesus, has taken upon himself the wrath of God on the cross so that all who come to him by faith will not be condemned but enjoy everlasting life in his eternal kingdom. That's it. That's the power of the church. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. That's how the kingdom advances. The proclamation of this powerful word that transforms lives. And it will continue to permeate every corner of this earth until our Lord Jesus comes in power to institute his kingdom. And know that the end of evil is coming, beloved. The end of evil is coming for all who believe. Jesus will rid his kingdom, his world, from all that pollutes it. It will be no more. Both evil that comes at us and the evil from within us, he will decisively bring an end to both. Be encouraged, saints. The kingdom will grow and evil will be eradicated. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are not deserving of the grace that we've received in our lives. You have brought us into your kingdom through the message of your salvation. God, if there is anyone among us this morning who has not heard or received or yet paid attention or tuned into the message of your kingdom, would you open their ears, please, we pray. Would you grant that they hear your offer of salvation, that all who turn from the sinful ways of wickedness and come to you are welcomed, are brought in. Lord, for you have taken the punishment upon yourself and you give them your righteousness so that they will shine like sons of righteousness. If there is anyone this morning who has not responded to the gospel, may this message this morning hit them in a fresh way, I pray. And Lord, for your people, would you grant us courage? Would you lift our eyes again up to the horizon of eternity to see what it is that you are doing in our day? That the gospel goes forth in power. Give us courage in the places where you've placed us to be ambassadors of your message of grace. And fill our hearts with hope and the knowledge to know that one day all the evil in this world will be but a distant memory in the glory of the Father. Amen.